So can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Currently I'm working for Alison Johnston, the Green MSP for Lothian, which I've been doing since halfway through 2013. And I came back up after doing down in England for a couple of years, doing sub-editing for the Press Association, and I was doing a bit of sort of green journalistic stuff at the same time, which is kind of why when I moved back up, I was able to kind of have a bit of involvement already in some of the stuff that was going on, so I was able to get into the campaigns and stuff in Parliament a bit more easily.
So how long have you been involved with the Green Party?
I joined just when I was finishing uni. I think the reason that I joined was purely because my postgrad was journalism, and when I was doing that, there was a story I was researching. I approached loads of people for comment, and the only one that really got back to me was a guy called Danny Anders Alterslow, who was a Green councillor at the time in Glasgow. And he was so helpful. He gave me everything that I needed for a really, really good story, whereas nobody else was particularly helpful. So it didn't just emphasise the fact that, unlike the other political parties, the Greens had a kind of position where they could actually take a principled stance on things and actually say things without, you know, having people telling them they can't do it or they'll lose donations and lose influence and all that stuff, which holds the other parties back.
What was it that made you want to stand as an MP?
We did our selection process last summer. At that time, it was, you know, it was the summer of love for Scotland, because it was the one time, certainly in my life, that we've had a potential future which really worked for the people. That kind of spilled over into obviously working in the office and working with Alison and Patrick and seeing what they do every day, and the fact that, you know, I've got a job now where I'm actually quite proud of what I helped to do during the day, because, you know, Alison and Patrick stand up and then talk about social justice, ending poverty, and it's a fantastic opportunity. When the nominations came out, it was just a kind of over-enthusiastic, let's all help and try build this better future for Scotland.
So is there any issues or policies even that the Green Party is involved in you think will have a big impact on Wester Hills?
The main thing at the moment is obviously poverty and inequality are the two biggest issues for us generally. Alison was talking the other day about how if there's one thing that she could do, it would be to create a sort of, like, you know, enshrine it as a human right to food basics. And it's the kind of thing that I would absolutely love to do at Westminster as well, but the biggest issue at the minute, and I can't believe it's so not underreported on, but it's just underappreciated, the severity of it, is TTIP, you know, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, which is the EU and the US negotiating a trade deal in secret, which will give international corporations, mostly American, but it will give these corporations the right to sue any government for any legislation that impacts their profits. So at the moment you've got Philip Morris, the tobacco company, are suing the Australian government because they introduced plain cigarette packaging. So plain cigarette packaging, all the evidence is there to show that it benefits the public health, but you've got a government that cannot implement public health initiatives because a corporation somewhere else will sue them for it. And New Zealand are also not pursuing plain packaging until they see the outcome of that legal case. So it's not just that this is a direct attack on democracy where it happens, it's a direct attack on democracy everywhere. But the impact for places like Wester Hills is massive, because essentially what it's going to do is mean that you cannot put up wages, cannot improve employment rights, you cannot do anything, you cannot address the problem of short-term, low-pay, insecure work that we currently have here, because anything you do to improve any of that obviously impacts profits. So if you're in Wester Hills just now and you're looking at what opportunities are going to be in the future, then we sign this trade deal. It's kind of hard to see, because it's not, you can't even then have the power to elect the politicians to make decisions for you, because they're all in the pocket of the corporations. There's lots of things, like the local community empowerment is massive for us. And at the moment, one of the things we're working on is trying to amend the Community Empowerment Bill that's currently going through the Scottish Parliament. We're trying to amend that to get community right to buy football clubs. You know, an asset to the community should be owned by the community. So anything that widens access, particularly for poorer and non-white male backgrounds to get ahead, anything that I can help to do with that as an MP would absolutely be on my top priorities.
After the referendum, there was a big increase in the membership of the Green Party. Do you think that'll have any impact at all?
What kind of impact it'll have is really difficult to tell. We weren't much over 1,500 members in September, and we're now around about 9,000. It's obviously, you get people that are saying, oh yeah, but these are all just nationalists, you know. But in that case, why didn't they join the SNP? There's a massive difference between what we were saying during the referendum and what the SNP were saying, particularly on things like currency, obviously in oil, pretty much anything that came down to it where it was a massive better together campaign issue was usually stuff that we disagreed with the SNP on as well. So it was frustrating for us. The debate was more SNP against unionism, which has now spilled over into SNP against Labour, and that's, you know, the tribal division that we have. And I think what attracted people to the Greens was that we weren't part of that everything will be good if you do things my way, everything will be terrible if you do things their way. We were saying, no, this is an opportunity, it's also a set of serious challenges. One of the biggest things was when Alistair Darling came up to the Economy Committee in the Scottish Parliament, he was talking about pensions and how if Scotland was independent, we would urgently need to rework our pension system because of our proportionally smaller population and proportionally older population. His reasoning was, as part of Britain, we don't need to make that change until a few years later. For the Scottish Greens, our position was always, why is it a good idea to ever defer doing something that you know you have to do for a sustainable future? Build it now. And I don't think that the people that have joined the Greens are just blindly signed up to this everything's got to be about Scottish nationalism nonsense. I think the 7,000 or 8,000 people that have joined the Greens so far are looking for a different kind of politics, something more cooperative, something more about discussion and debate.